This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Wednesday, a hump day. And so we're going to get to some emails at some point in time this hour. Papa John's is closing a bunch of stores. I actually am bothered by that. Not for pizza reasons. I'll explain in a little bit. But before we do that, we have to revisit something we will revisit over and over and over and over again on this show. And that is the evil people in positions of power in this country handing your country over to foreigners as fast as humanly possible in exchange for the foreigners' vote. If it makes you feel better, and it probably doesn't, this is not a problem unique to the United States of America. The most popular baby name in London is now Muhammad. This happens in the UK, Scotland, Ireland, France, Germany, country after country after country, Italy. They're all experiencing this. Evil people took power. And as has been discussed for thousands of years, when evil, corrupt people take power, who don't have any patriotism inside of them, they prefer foreigners over patriotic citizens. You are a citizen. You want what is best for your country. You want to preserve your culture. You want things from these leaders they don't feel like providing. And you are likely to hold them to account when they do evil things with their position of power in the federal government or the state government or the local government. You are likely to get angry when they do bad things. But you know who doesn't give a crap about any of that? The foreigner. The foreigner who was brought in by communists and losers in the GOP. The foreigner is brought in, and the foreigner is cheap. He doesn't ask for much. He's going to find a way to steal taxpayer money. Democrats will aid him in stealing that taxpayer money. He'll get himself on welfare, of course. He'll probably find some no-show job, of course. And Democrats, communists in positions of power as judges and governors and all kinds of other things will protect him, offer him legal protection, and all they will ever ask in return is that the foreigner and all his cousins and brothers and sisters and mothers, every one of them will gather up and vote Democrat en masse. Who gets punished? You. Your country gets destroyed. Your schools get destroyed. Rape, murder, savagery, theft, all over the place as these animals bring their disgusting culture into the United States of America. This is the arrangement. And this is why Democrats brought in 20 million people when Joe Biden took over. That's exactly why. And it's why they'll bring in more the next time they take power, if they take power. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz today. He had to sit in front of the House of Representatives. Here's some evidence of what I just said.
How many people have been indicted in your state right now? Do you know, Governor?
I don't have those numbers with me.
You don't? 98 people have been indicted. You'd happen to know how many are Somali American?
I don't. We don't investigate or prosecute people based on ethnicity, religion.
Neither do I. We shouldn't do that. But Mr. Megan is a Somali American who just said that the core, one of the concerns was this is a core voting block. And I just want to know if you know how many of the 98 people who have been indicted in your state are Somali.
I don't. Their ethnicity is not my concern.
85% of the people indicted were Somali American, key voting block. And I think that's what drove this whole thing.
85%. Here was Brandon Gill.
Do you think it's racist or Islamophobic to highlight and try to stop fraud?
It is not, and I certainly wouldn't
know. It's not, but that was the message your administration was sending to multiple whistleblowers.
I can't speak to that.
You can't speak to that. You know, you don't want to speak to that, I think.
Nancy Mace got in on it.
How much money was spent on 2017 for autism in Minnesota? How much?
I don't know. I wasn't the governor.
Okay. Did you not just say that you prepared for this hearing today? $1 million, okay? A quick Google search or using your AI could tell you $1 million was spent. How much money was spent on autism in Minnesota in 2024?
I don't have the number in front of me. as
Were you governor in 2024?
I was, but I'm not the
okay,
head
so
of
Okay, so your excuse before that you didn't know what 2017 autism numbers were because you were not governor, and today you can't answer the numbers about 2024 as governor, and you still said you prepared for this hearing today. It's unbelievable. $343 million.
From $1 million to $343 million over the course of 7 years. Because Democrats are colluding with the foreigners they brought in to steal your money and hand it to foreigners in exchange for votes. This was Tom Emmer interviewing Keith Ellison, Minnesota Attorney General.
Millions of Americans have grave concerns over your alleged relationships with Somali fraudsters who have since been charged and convicted of federal crimes. I'm sure you are aware that over 90% of the defendants charged in the Feeding Our Future fraud case are of Somali descent. In fact, you have personal knowledge of these people. There's a 54-minute audio tape of your meeting with these criminals in December of 2021. And during your meeting, they complained to you about increased scrutiny of their nonprofits, and you told them, quote, "Of course I'm here to help," end quote. It's on the internet. Anyone can listen to you say that. Since then, you claim you were not aware of their crimes in the $250 million Feeding Our Future scheme, the largest pandemic fraud case in the nation. But just weeks after your December 2021 meeting, the FBI executed search warrants that you never would have requested in the Feeding Our Future fraud investigation.
Finally, this is Representative Scott Perry to Tim Walz. I'm playing all these because I want you to hear it. This is what they're doing across the United States of America. This is what they're doing across Western civilization. This is why all the communists are grabbing up every single foreigner they possibly can and bringing them into your child's school as fast as they possibly can, destroying your country, all in the name of power. Disgusting and evil and wrong. Democrats are waging war on the United States of America, and immigration is the weapon they use for it. And by the way, this is particularly near and dear to my heart because I have a son who's driving, 17, and I have another son who has his permit. We're currently making sure he can handle himself on the road. My sons are out there on the highway. My sons are out there on the road. And it seems like every day now I have to read some news story about some filthy foreigner who can't even speak English, driving a semi in his flip-flops, acting like he's back in Bangladesh, who wipes out a family of four. And it sickens me to my core. And again, Democrats did it on purpose.
And what? But he was licensed in your state under your law that you signed about a year and a half ago.
Every day we give licenses and people speed. So we ticket them and try and stop that. What I'm telling you is I don't understand the connection between
he's here licensing. Illegally, he can't read, and he got a license under your provisions, and he's driving all across the country, imperiling everybody else.
Do you ever drive on the highway? Do you have loved ones who ever drive on the highway? Let me ask you something else. Have you ever spent any time in foreign lands and seen how they drive? I've been in, obviously, places like Iraq, Mexico, France. I've been many different parts of the world. It's some of the most, I'm not even a nervous car rider. It's some of the most horrifying things I've ever gone through in my life have been just watching how they drive. Reckless abandon. Totally different than what Americans are used to. Democrats bring these people in from insane driving cultures. They don't even know how to read the road signs. They give them driver's licenses and hand them a massive truck to drive out on the highway with your daughter, with my sons, with your mom. And it's not just that it's happening. They're killing people. People are dying, and Democrats are doing it. It is a deep evil, and as you can tell, it bothers me a lot, and it's almost completely for selfish reasons, because I have people I know who drive on the roads, and Democrats don't even care. They don't care. They don't feel bad. They don't have any intention of stopping. They've set up this huge fraud, international fraud network to bring these people as fast as they possibly can. It is an awful, awful, awful thing. Shame on every single one of them. And shame on losers in the GOP who helped them do it as well. I'm talking about the John Cornyn types, the Ken Paxton types, these dorks in our own party who were supposed to be on our side. All right, we'll do some emails. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, and don't forget to say goodbye.
The arms of the angel.
Maybe because these people, they are crazy, because they always talk about how Christian they is.
Listen, I'm a gun-toting Texan, right?
I've always been someone who has been intellectual. I was top 10% of my class.
And that is specifically why I said, A. Jeffrey Epstein, unlike Republicans, I at least don't go out and just tell lies.
But as somebody who understands history, when I see ICE, I see slave patrols.
That's all ICE is supposed to do. Look at them as a fancy Uber driver.
We done picking cotton.
It is not a criminal violation to enter the country illegally.
As we know, the Republican Party is run by Russians at this point in time.
But you have this woman, Crockett. She's a very low IQ person.
I watched her speak the other day. She's definitely a low IQ person.
I'm going to miss you, Jazzy. I'm going to miss you. Hey, Jazzy, now that we have a Texas Senate primary runoff between Ken Paxton and John Cornyn, would you be willing to flip your vote to Cornyn if he was able to get the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act passed? He can't. I keep hearing that this is some deal that we can cut. Hey, just back Cornyn and we'll get the SAVE Act passed. Cornyn was already a yes on the SAVE Act. It's Mitch McConnell, who's a no. Lisa Murkowski, who's a no. John Curtis is a no. Susan Collins, she's a no. None of the no's are currently John Cornyn. Do you think he's going to win re-election and then go in there and start bashing some heads together at 74? That is so naive. It's freaking childlike. By the way, I'm not yelling at you because the email's valid. If he could get the SAVE Act passed, would I be okay with it? Also, this part is important. Sending a message matters a lot. A lot. And as we've discussed so many times before, primarying a United States senator, a sitting senator, is one of the most difficult things to do in the world. Because these senators, they go into Washington, D.C., and they start serving the swamp. The swamp rewards them with boatloads of money. And so then they spend that money, just like John Cornyn did, on a primary, overwhelming the primary opponent in order to take one out. You absolutely positively have to have somebody who is known already in the state. You have to have somebody who can raise some money. You have to have a situation, which we now have with this runoff, where it's just you and him. You can't have every Tom, Dick, and Harry jump in. I'm running and then I'm running, because then you just end up splitting the vote of everyone who's sick of Cornyn. We have currently the perfect storm. That is ultra rare, ultra, ultra rare. The perfect storm. It's right here in front of us. I'm tired, boss. Hey, Jesse, you want to be a Zippo guy? This is about me trying to become a cigar guy. And I said, Zippos are really cool. It's the ones you see in the movies where people are flipping them and things. What, Chris? And I'll learn how to do it. I saw a guy do it one time where he flipped open the top and then He hit his leg with it or something, and it lit on fire, Chris. What? It's harder than I think? Why do you have to ruin everything? I'll figure it out. Anyway, I have my dad's Vietnam Zippo. He was a Marine too, but an actual good one. The Zippo says, beep communism covertly. I can't say that. But the chimney is stuck in the case. Anyway, Since Dad passed in 2002 and doesn't need it anymore and I don't smoke, I feel that both he and I would like you to have it. If you would restore it and maybe use it and give me an address I can send it to, I'd like you to have it because I love your show so much. Thanks for all you do. Man, I would be honored beyond belief, but I can't take your dad's Zippo, man. I can't do that, Chris. That belongs to him. That should stay in the family. A Zippo your dad carried in Vietnam. Vietnam veterans are sacred, man. They just are. And it saddens me that we're almost out of World War II veterans. The Korean War veterans are not far behind them. They're friggin' ancient by now. And you will live to see in your lifetime, and mine, but maybe mine, we're going to lose our Vietnam veterans. That's the way it works, Father Time. And I know that's just how life goes. I get it, but it still saddens me. Whenever I find myself in a VFW, ordering ice cream at the bar, I almost always run into some salty Vietnam veteran. For some reason, you can see him coming a mile away. Maybe it's an age thing. I don't know. You can always see him coming. And I just so enjoy them. I enjoy their stories, and they'll tell you stories. They'll sit, especially when they find out I was a Marine, they'll sit down and they'll talk to you and tell you stories. And I treasure them. Thank you for the offer of your father's Zippo lighter. Seriously, thank you very much, but I can't accept it. What, Chris? Chris said the thought of restoring it doesn't sound great. It's not that. It's not that. It's just, I'll tell you, my old man passed, as you know, not that long ago. Giving up certain things, like his work gloves. I don't want to give up his work gloves. It's my old man's work gloves. Right? Some things I want to keep. Can't keep it all. You know, you're not going to keep every pair of socks and that kind of ridiculous crap, but some things I want to keep. I also want to keep you safe from identity theft. That's what I want. I don't want you to be pillaged. I don't want you to pull up your phone one day and look at it and find that, my bank account is empty. I can't have that. Online identity theft is coming for everybody at some point in time. We cannot avoid it because it's a multi-billion dollar international industry. Some of these criminal groups who do this, they're in places like Russia and China. It's not like the FBI can drive up the road and arrest them. LifeLock monitors all this dark web stuff because you can't and I can't. They monitor all of it. Let them monitor your stuff. Let them keep you safe. And if, God forbid, you do get wiped out, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. You join now, you save up to 40% off your first year. LifeLock.com, promo code Jesse. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com, promo code Jesse. Terms apply. Daniel Turner is going to tell us about oil prices next.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a hump day, a Wednesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So I'm looking at a headline here. Average price for a gallon of gas rises 11 cents overnight. Is this going to continue? Joining me now, Daniel Turner. You know him well. Power the future, Daniel Turner. Daniel, tell me about the Strait of Hormuz. Tell me why my gas prices are going up and if this is going to continue.
It could continue. And, of course, that's not good news for anybody, right? I don't want to see Americans pay more. I think we need a little context here. And this is what I've been saying a lot in the media in these last couple of days, is obviously it's a pressing issue. We got accustomed to $95 a barrel oil under Biden and $4.50 a gallon gas. And we were told, like, that's the new normal, right? And when you asked about it, people like Pete Buttigieg said, well, you should drive an electric vehicle. You wouldn't have these problems. So yes, I am unhappy to see gas prices going up as a result of action in the Middle East. But, you know, to go from $2.30 to $2.55 when we were paying almost double that for 4 years of Biden, I think people need to unknot their panties a little bit. Straits of Hormuz are a tense area. You know the area well because I know you served there, and we thank you for your service. But if you look at a map, for those who don't know the area, it's a little tiny, narrow strait between the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman. And almost every Middle Eastern country has a port on it, and that's where their oil is exported from. So the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, the Iranians, the Iraqis, Doha, United Arab Emirates, right? All oil has to get put on a tanker and get sent out to sea and go to all of their different customers. And it all travels through this little tiny, tiny strait. And Iran likes to patrol it. And if they don't like you, they'll blow your ship out of the water. What do we do? We blew Iran out of the water. We can argue whether or not it was a good idea. I have always been a fan of killing bad people. I believe that on every level imaginable, bad people should be put down. And so I celebrate these actions, even if it means 15, 25 more cents a gallon for the immediate future.
Okay. We obviously blew their Navy out of the water. Not a difficult thing for our Navy. Tell me how they intend to close it, or do they have any ability to close it or make life difficult in this strait without naval ships?
No. So now you're getting into some complicated stuff here, but you're a sophisticated audience, and so they all can follow me. Everything in the world has insurance, right? Your car has insurance. Your corporation has insurance. You yourself, your life may be insured. Naval vessels in that region of the world, all Navy vessels, have insurance. In that region of the world, they have a boatload of insurance, right? Because for decades, if you're commandeering an oil tanker in the Straits of Hormuz, you always kind of know in the back of your head that Iran could attack you. So the insurance companies usually charge you a premium to say, all right, we'll cover your ship and your cargo, but you're going to pay through the nose for it, right? Something also that is tacked onto the price of oil, right? So when you're paying for oil, you're paying for the insurance of that cargo ship. Well, the insurers are nervous right now. And so they're saying, I'm not going to insure oil and gas, oil boats going through the Straits of Hormuz. So now those oil tankers are a little bit stranded because they're wondering what to do. This is where President Trump is playing a level of 3D chess because he has announced, you know what? The United States government will insure it for you, and we will use our military if necessary to protect our insurance. And that is going to be a huge disruptor in international energy insurance markets. That will be good for you, the consumer, because don't you think Lloyd's of London, who's the number one insurer, don't you think they were raking you over the coals, right? They were charging you a fortune. It's like, you know, if you gave your 18-year-old son a Hellcat and now you want to get it insured, Geico's going to be like, oh, yeah, sure, Jesse, I'll insure your car for your idiot son. But you know what it's going to cost you? It's going to cost you a fortune. Well, the only way to have better rates is to get rid of the people who hold that power over you. And that's what President Trump just did right now. So little bit of like nerdism right there. But if you're in this space, holy crap, are you excited.
Tell me about Venezuela. Obviously, we're pretty much running it right now. At least we're friendly with the people who are running it now. Are they able? Is Venezuela able to make up the difference on whatever oil shortages we may be having because of Iran?
Not immediately, because Venezuela was using dial-up modem, right? So they had all the internet there, but they were 20 years behind in terms of technology. It's going to take a little while for those American companies who are willing to invest there to get it up and running. But it will get up and running pretty darn quickly. I mean, not in weeks, but in a year, I think you could see Venezuela's oil production almost double. And that will make up a huge difference as well. So, again, there's a lot to be optimistic about in the future. But we're in a little bit of turmoil right now. There's no doubt about it. And the markets reflect that. Remember, oil markets also, they're skittish. Like, you see the slightest thing happen. You see a storm get predicted and people are like, oh, God, an oil spikes. Right? There's a lot of things that go into oil pricing. The most important thing we can do to calm it is to produce as much in America as possible. And then who cares what happens with the rest of the world?
Daniel, can you, as best you can, dumb this down for me, because I'll need you to do that. What does that mean, they were using dial-up modem? I understand what you're saying, that they weren't a prime-time oil-producing country, but does that mean refining, drilling? What wasn't there that other countries have?
Drilling technologies. Our drilling technology has advanced so much. Horizontal drilling, fracking, for example, is a technology. Sometimes people say, you know, there are fewer rigs in America now than there were 20 years ago. That's true, because one rig can do what you used to need three or four to do, because the drilling technology has advanced that much. So that's what I mean. When you have communists run anything, they don't run it pretty darn well, right? Look at communist grocery stores in the Soviet Union. They had all the necessary infrastructure in theory. They just weren't able to produce anything, and everyone was starving, right? So that's the same thing when you have communist oil. They have, in theory, all the materials there, but their technology is slow, their manpower is slow, their expertise, their financing, and all of that is because communists don't know how to run anything. As you have taught me many a time, especially reading your book, the only thing the communist knows how to do is take over what you created and destroy it. Communists don't build oil industries. They take your oil industry and they ruin it. And that's what happened in New York. That's what happened in, you know, the Soviet Union. Et cetera, et cetera. So that's what I mean by the dial-up modem.
What about Iran's oil industry? If, Lord willing, when this whole thing's over, we have a friendly government there, are they prime time or are they still in the dark ages?
No, they will be faster because Iran had a pretty good oil sector. They just used their money for evil, right? They used their money to foment terrorism. And a lot of that terrorism you personally fought in first person. Right. They have been funding terrorism and engagement in the Middle East and worldwide for 40 years. But they have a really robust oil and gas industry. I see what happening in Iran a lot like what's happening in Venezuela. They're going to need some outside support. They're going to need some capital. But if there is stability and there's calm and there's peace, investors will jump in. And if you go back and look at Iran pre-Ayatollah, I mean, the women were hot, right? I mean, they were educated. They were savvy, Western, sophisticated, fashionable, cultured, peaceful, prosperous, right? There's enough Iranians still around the world who remember that, and they're livid, and they want their country back. And oil revenue will help them achieve it, and that will be a great thing for us. It will be great to think, Jesse, you know, your kid could honeymoon in Tehran in 15 years. Because that's what we've done to create peaceful places around the world. And that's kind of exciting.
Daniel Turner, Power of the Future. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you.
God bless, Jesse.
All right. We have more. Next.
He doesn't care if you believe him. But he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Wednesday, reminding you that Tiana Lowe is coming up 10 minutes from now to talk about some economic matters. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's get to a few of these. Oh, I did see this. The 1,400-year-old Sunni-Shia Islamic religious split is shaping the Iran war. This is what I was kind of discussing earlier of, man, it's going to be a friggin' mess. I take that back. It has the potential to be a friggin' mess, all right? Jesse, I think I've caught on to something that many people aren't talking about or probably haven't noticed, but after seeing how the UK, Spain, and France have tried to distance themselves from the US in different ways over the past several days, I started piecing together a common theme among these countries and those in the EU. They've all been invaded by Muslims and Islamists to the point of no return. The leaders of these countries are captured hostages in their own countries. That's why these leaders are acting squirrely and why they're truly no longer allies of ours. Am I onto something here, or am I misdiagnosing the reason for us having fake allies? I think you nailed it 100%. And here's something way sad, way sad. Because we Americans, we do like to think back to the World War II days where we allied with these European countries who We feel like we share a kinship with them, right? Quote, free Western civilizations. We feel like we have a kinship with these countries. But the truth is, as the communists in Europe have cemented their power, and as they have imported massively more foreigners and have announced publicly in some cases they intend to bring in more. Spain just came out and said, we're bringing in 500,000 more. They have changed their countries demographically to such an extent, I think it would be naive to think America will still be an ally with, for instance, the UK 100 years from now. Allies in general, to be an ally in general is kind of a dicey thing. You're not generally allies because you're friends. Now, that can help. That's why the royalty used to intermarry with each other all the time. Hey, marry my daughter. I'm going to marry my daughter. I'm the king of France. I'm going to marry my daughter to the king of England. And then we'll feel some sort of a connection, a kinship. And then if things kick off, we can fight together. So as much as people try to forge those personal relationships, when it comes to being an ally with another country, it really always just comes down to aligned interests. Are your interests aligned with our interests? If so, we can march forward on something. If not, we can't. Now, let's do this scenario. Let's say, Lord willing, we save the United States of America. We continue to win these battles. We get involved. We're turning America in the right direction. And I believe we kind of are right now. Let's say that continues. We've got a long way to go. What if America continues to turn towards freedom, sovereignty, turn towards being a country that serves its own citizens instead of the interests of foreigners? And at the same time, what if the UK and France and Germany and these places, what if they continue to turn the opposite way? What if they exist to serve the foreigner, to supplant their own citizens? Their own citizens are being crushed and crowded out as they are right now. How much do those ships have to turn before they're heading in completely opposite directions? We've already run into little tiffs here and little tiffs there. You remember when Starmer, that UK PM, when he came to the White House and sat down, and our vice president, J.D. Vance, flat out jumped him about it. Hey, what about this freedom? You're arresting people for Facebook posts. What about? It's already been tense in these ways. How long do these ships have to turn opposite ways before we are opposite countries? And I don't like to think of it like that. But also, if you open up a history book, you'll see the whole history of the world is sometimes you're an ally, and after a while, you're an enemy, and you become allies with someone else. That's how it goes. Dear Accountant Jesse, someone doesn't like Kristi Noem. Of all the fraud, and all this is off of what I went over last night about the ads and everything else, and the $220 million ad buy that Kristi Noem handed in a no-bid contract to the wife or to the spouse of a former campaign manager. And this guy says, of all the fraud and all the waste and all the government, this one is the most important one to point out, right? It has nothing to do with the fact that the secretary is someone you don't like, right? Seems like it. Says I can say his name. His name is Drew. Drew, you might be okay with the government swindling $220 million of your money and funneling it to a friend of a friend of the DHS secretary simply because she's a Republican. That might be something that's okay with you. I'm telling you right now, that's never, ever, 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 ever something that's ever going to be okay with me at all. You know what? Listen to this. If this is okay with you, I would argue maybe you should put away your Republican pajamas and use your freaking brain. This is people's money. Your money. This is your money. Go ahead, Chris.
My research shows that you did not bid them out, that you pick. In fact, one of the people you picked, the strategy group, I'm sorry, Safe America Media, was a company formed 11 days before you picked them, and that the strategy group got most of the money, and the head of that is married to your former spokesperson. Look, we all have friends who are qualified. I'm not quibbling with that. It troubles me.
You said I don't like Kristi Noem? I've told you 1,000 times I don't like Kristi Noem. I've told you 10,000 times, I don't like John Kennedy, the man asking the questions. I'm not talking about my feelings about anybody. I care about the American citizen. That is what I have always cared about. And if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you can tell I care about it. And if you ever think I'm going to put Republican pom-poms ahead of the American citizen, you are sorely mistaken. I will loudly criticize Donald Trump himself if I ever find out he's stealing from the American taxpayer and handing it to his friends. No, they're all rental cars, every one of them, and you don't get to steal from us. That's your money. And it makes me furious that they do this crap. But then again, maybe my T levels are too high at this point. Maybe that's it, Chris. Maybe it's too much male vitality stack from Chalk. Now I just want to fight all these people. Do you want to be full of energy? Do you want to have your mind work well enough that you'll call out fraud no matter which party happens to be doing it? Maybe try some natural herbal supplements from Chalk. It's not just for men. I'm always talking about the men, but that's because I take a male vitality stack. They have female vitality stacks for women. You tired of being tired? Tired of getting home from work and being out of gas? Got to make dinner. Why don't you try some natural herbal supplements from the hardcore anti-communists at Chalk? And unlike people in the government, they're not trying to rip you off. In fact, if you get a subscription, you can save a fortune, and I would highly recommend it. Go to chalk.com, C-H-O-Q.com, and use the promo code Jesse and start today. All right? All right. Tiana Lowe is going to talk to us about a couple economic matters I'm curious about, like housing. Next.